This is third working session of the board on February 13th, 2024 at 4:01 p.m.
You said you and Dave were going to do it anyway. So Burke, Lorraine, and one of you two.
So, on, you want me to do spend plans really fast in 2 seconds?
You want to do what? Spend plans?
Do you schedule spend plans?
Apparently not.
No. President, do you schedule spend plans? There's just two changes we made since the last time we talked. One is that we added a marching band cleaning fee because the marching band uniforms, up above it says you can either charge a formal wear fee or a rental fee. You can't charge both. A marching band has a formal wear, but then they also have their marching band uniform that needs to be cleaned every year. So we created a separate line that's outside of those so they can get their marching band uniforms cleaned for $25 a year. Okay. The second change that was made dealt with uniform rental, and LaCrosse said, hey, you know what, we're going to need uniform rental fee. And we said, you're probably right, you're going to need a uniform rental fee. So we put a $50 uniform rental fee on there.
Or
LaCrosse. Yeah.
It's on there.
So it's on there now. Yeah, so that's what we put on. That's it. Everything else is the same. We'll be bringing the spend plans and the fee schedules at your next board meeting for the first set of reviews and the hearing.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Okay. I look forward to it. Okay, literacy. Right here. Oh, I got a call.
Thank you. Okay. Hi, thanks for having me this afternoon. I have my cheer squad here. I've got my support, Jamie and Stephanie and Tara, they're great old specialists, and they've been part of this process. I'm just going to walk through very quickly the curriculum adoption that we've been working through for the last few months. So go ahead. Under Senate Bill 127, we are required by law to adopt a program that is evidence-informed, meaning it aligns to the science of reading. By fall of 2024, for 2024, 2025. The list for me came out from the state of Utah on November 20th, 2023. So the state of Utah has given me the core, the programs we can choose from, and then we had to determine as a team which ones we're going to look at. Thank you. So the curriculum list that the state of Utah approved for us to use that aligned to the science of reading is Wonders 2023, but it needs a phonics supplement because it didn't quite have a strong phonics program. Interreading is the second one, but it needs a strong phonological awareness supplement. CKLA, the second edition, and it also needed a strong phonological awareness component. What about Reach for Reading? That's our current core reading program we're using right now. It is actually going to sunset. It is no longer even being produced. The technology will disappear, and so they're not even, Cengage isn't even doing anything for elementary in the literacy world anymore. So what's been guiding our work? We've worked, we've had to look at Senate Bill 127 that was done by our own Representative Last and Senator Ann Milner. And we've had to look very carefully and make sure we're following everything that's part of that bill. We've also looked a lot about Senate Bill 55 about instructional materials, and then finally our own policy 4012, learning materials. So that's kind of what's been driving our work. So we put out there into our district who wants to be members of our committee to help us adopt a new core reading program. And we had so many people interested. It was really, really gratifying. We had so many teachers reach out and say, hey, I'd like to be on this committee. Hey, I want to be part of it. And so you can see we've got a huge group. We had special ed, we had admin, we had ELL, we had board member Simmons here, we had our grade level specialist, we had our dyslexic specialist here in our district, our Utah Tech rep, technology, learning coaches. So we tried to incorporate everybody that we could, that they would have a say. And so it was a very smart group of people that worked together really, really hard to make this happen in a short period of time. So during this process, I sent out a survey to teachers saying, what do you want in your core reading program? Knowing we only have the choice of the three, what are your most important things? And I got, these are the responses I got from each grade level, but within those responses, there were about 365 items. So within those items, I tracked to see what was coming up that was most important. And you can see this was definitely number one. They wanted engaging grade level text, fiction and nonfiction selections. They wanted strong anthologies. They wanted things that aligned to our core. Social studies and science, they wanted it aligned to the reading rope. They wanted a phonics program, which is important.
Don't we have more teachers than this?
Yep, that's all that responded. So I put out it twice to teachers, a survey, and those are the ones who responded.
It was an incredible amount. My wife looked at it. She went to the training and everything, and she tried to go through the evaluation. She had about 3 days, 4 days to do it all, and she said, there's too much here. There's no way I can put the time into this to make it work. And so these are your people
so
that really
reliable
could,
are the
could
results
do that.
Of this survey?
Well, these are the people that are your hot runners that really spent the time to do it.
These are the people that really are more engaged and involved than just...
That's right.
Okay.
And you had a lot of teachers come and look at the program.
Yes, we certainly did.
We had those workshops or whatever you called them.
We did. So you're welcome. So that's what we wanted. We also had parent feedback. This was not as robust as I would have liked. That from this point on, we had a parent open house. We actually had about 40 parents come. And this was on Facebook. It was on the school's Facebook accounts. It went home in an email. So it really got out there. But we didn't have, we had about 40 parents come, but only about 22 filled out a response. And then I also had the PTA come, and I asked for members of our PTA around our district to come. And they spent about an hour and a half with me going through the programs. Right now on our district website, if you go to Student and Parents, you can click on Curriculum, and parents can click right now and look at the different programs and get in and see a teacher view, parent view, and see what it's all about. Next one. So then, this is where I had teacher open houses. So I had two teacher open houses for teachers to come and look through the materials, like Mr. Bills was saying, and have a time to look through and see what they think about each of the programs. And if you'll click on one, go back one, and if you click on teacher feedback, yes, I'm going to click on it. So again, not tons and tons of teachers came, but enough, probably 50 teachers total. And if you look, you can see the teachers when they turned in their responses. This is how it breaks down per grade level. So if you'll look, like, for instance, first grade right here, 10 of the teachers, their first choice was into reading, and then maybe their second choice was Wonders, and third choice, CKLA. That's kind of how it's broken down. So you can see I've highlighted the one that teachers were most impressed with.
This is because of the phonics element, do you think?
I think phonics. I also think the ease of the program, as far as there weren't so many things, so many bells and whistles. So I think phonics. I think aligning to science and social studies, it had a better alignment. And I think the writing. Those three pieces, I think, is what really sold it for classroom teachers. So let's go back to that. So we had the teacher open houses, and we've got their feedback. And then, of course, the committee. We had a pretty stringent rubric we were going by based on the science of reading and what we needed to see. And once we turned in our rubrics, it came out that the group went with into reading. And at the end, we all talked about and said, is this what you want to go with? Is this what you feel most, is this what you feel like we can get our best gains? And they said yes. Dr. Childs from Utah Tech also took a look at it, and she felt the same way as we did. So we are going to propose you into reading for our core program for literacy.
You did say, though, that all three of them, including InterReading, needed supplementation with phonics.
Yep. So InterReading needs phonological awareness.
What's the difference between that and saying that it needs help with phonics? What's the
yeah, so phonics
Frank
is
in math.
That's great.
I don't know that question either.
That's a great question. Thank you. So phonics is connecting sounds to letters.
Okay.
Phonemic awareness is being able to hear the sounds and then break them apart. So, for instance, when you write, let's say you want to write the word cat, a new writer will be like, at, they're able to hear those sounds. So if you're struggling hearing sounds and putting them in words with your ears, that is really challenging for a child. And if we don't have something in place, that will really, really impact their ability to actually to read and write.
Have we chosen something then that we will use as that supplementation?
Yes, we actually in our district right now, we use Hegarty, and it's phonological awareness, and we've had it for, maybe 5 or 6 years. Our teachers love it. In fact, when they've asked, are we going to still do Hegarty in this process? I'm like, as far as I'm concerned, yes, you already know how to do it. It has proven results, and kids love it, and the teachers love it. So
I got a note from a first grade teacher this morning.
Oh, super!
She liked the one that you've chosen. She said, its program best supports the direction our district has been going to fully integrate reading instruction, strong in phonics, and phonetic awareness. Super amazing.
Super, that's great to hear.
So
that's what I'm hearing from teachers.
Do you have an idea, since there's so few choices, what direction other districts are going that are similar, socioeconomic and similar to our district?
The districts are either going with Wonders or InterReading. The charters are more leaning towards CKLA. So okay. The bigger districts are doing Wonders.
Okay.
The smaller ones are doing InterReading. Clark County adopted InterReading.
Having done when Reach for Reading, been through the whole process, I think, and to kind of help Terry and those numbers, I think the teachers have had as much or more ability to put in what they feel the parents than what we did back when we did Reach for Reading.
Yeah,
you've done a good job.
We didn't have. There wasn't this opportunity for teachers when we did InterReading or Reach for Reading to have this kind of input or for parents.
Okay.
So this has been different than how we've been.
Well, it's just been more teacher involvement, right?
For sure.
And that'll be super important going forward, I think.
For sure. Yes.
So that committee was pretty impressive.
When I looked at them, it was like immediate as to which program.
Is that obvious to you? I mean, really quick. Cool.
Okay.
And we did Wonders at Davis School District, and I loved InterReading.
So we have a hearing on this today, but we don't approve it until next time.
Yes.
Correct. Okay. Yep. Two hearings.
Okay. We have to have
and you'll present. Are you the one presenting what we would like to go with today? Good luck. You're going to kill it.
Okay.
No
problem.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you all.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Insurance, we'll jump to you. Yeah.
Sorry. I think you're going to be.
No, I'm okay. I'm going to log out.
Oh, you're good. Well, do you want me to log out?
Yeah.
Alright, so insurance renewals for the 24-25 year. With the medical insurance, the committee recommends keeping the plan designs as they currently are, with the deductibles, co-pays, co-insured, and out-of-pocket maximum units with the pharmacy benefits. The committee also recommends in the future to explore plan design changes as needed to help with the cost sharing on that with inflation and utilization. So that's something that we would want to explore later on, but for now, the plan design, they want to keep the same. On the dental insurance, the committee recommends keeping that plan designs as they currently are, with the deductibles, co-insurance, and yearly maximum allowed expenses as well. On life insurance, this is one that we went out to bid on because we had a change last year. If you remember, LifeMap was bought out by USA Able, and we thought that that would be a good year for us to do an RFP to find out if there's any way that we can get some life insurance that might save us a little money. And it was found that the bundling of our life insurance with Lincoln Financial, who has our short-term and our long-term disability, would save us approximately $102,000 next year. So the committee chose to move our life insurance to bundle under Lincoln Financial with the short-term and long-term disability. On our supplemental insurance for vision, GBS has recommended that we move away from OptiCare vision plans. They're not financially stable. Their CEO's left. A lot of their top executives have left. They don't feel like they are getting claims paid in a quick manner. And so they recommended that we move. And the best thing that we found as a committee was to bundle our vision under EMI with our medical and our dental. Now, the vision plans change from a 70D and a 120D, which is $70 towards your frames and $120 towards your frames on those two plans that we had with vision, the OptiCare, to a $100 and a $130 under EMI. That's what they offer. But we also will get all of the big box stores like Costco, Target, Walmart, Sam's Club. We can use those, which we haven't been able to use with OptiCare Vision. And so the rates will go up just slightly. And
for the 100.
For the 100.
The
yes.
130, if you were on the 120, is actually yeah. lower than the 120 was before.
You're correct. Yes. So it could change a little bit that way, but you're getting more dollars towards your frames and that, going with the 100 and the 130. Okay. And so the committee recommended making that change as well. And then the other supplementary plans we have, like Victoria, our health savings, health reimbursement, health spending, limited health spending and that, those plans had no changes, and the committee chose to keep them as they are. Okay. Do I have any questions about those recommendations from the insurance committee that you'd like to talk about?
Do you think you could hold it another year? I mean, without making any changes on that?
Don't question them. They said they can.
Okay. On the medical insurance right now, beginning of the year, our claims have been really, really bad. And then all of a sudden, of late, they've been coming in like numbers where we're calling back saying, is that really how low it is? Because it come in really good. Right now, they're recommending between a 6 and a 9% increase in our premiums. Okay, that's what they're recommending. But understand that trend is higher than that. So with all the low years we've had, to have a 6 to 9 somewhere in there, we're going to wait to make a recommendation on that until our May 5th? 6th?
March
6th. Is it 6th or 5th?
5th.
5th. Board meeting, because that'll give us another month of data, and then we can come in and hopefully with where they're coming in, we might be coming in with something a little bit lower than that for our trend numbers. We're just sending up the flag saying within the next couple of years, we're probably going to have to change, especially our high deductible plan for the deductible, because the federal government is raising what that is every year, and soon it's going to get up to that $2,000 and go above $2,000, so we won't have a choice. We'll have to move it up. Otherwise, it won't be a qualifying high deductible plan. If it's not qualifying high deductible plan, then you can't put money in an HSA anymore. But the committee would like to look at the option when we do that, moving it up, to also maybe increase the match on the HSA so that there's a instead of the $20 match, maybe it's a $40 match to offset the deductible with money that we're putting into the match. And that will also incent people maybe to save a little bit more on their own as well. So that's what we're talking about in the insurance committee. And then we'll have the recommendations on the actual rates for you, and you'll make your decision on March 5th.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you. Brent.
Yeah.
You got 5 minutes.
I know, and I'm going to fire hose this one on you guys.
I got to get out of the way.
Yep. Is it on still?
It looks on.
Okay. All right, so what we do when we start with our capital budget priorities is we come in here and we've got all these budgets right here that are budgets that we have as operations to do what we need to do for our job, right? So general maintenance has historically had a $500,000 budget. They're tapping up against that, and they're asking for $600,000 next year. This is just when you call up, put in a maintenance request, they come in, they fix something for your building, this is the money they use to do that, okay? Emergency repairs, things like that. So that's what this list right here is, those types of things, discretionary budgets that we have going forward. Now, one of the things that is brand new here is we have had emergencies that have come up, and it kind of gets bounced around. I'm not paying for that. It's not coming out of my budget. So I talked to the superintendent and said, I need an oh crap budget that we can pay for when the police department comes and says, we can't get our walkie-talkies to work in Hurricane Intermediates or Hurricane High School, and it's going to cost $250,000 to put a system in that will allow that to work. Okay? So we've included that in here.
Is that a million? Is that what that says, Brett?
It's $1 million.
Okay.
Now, obviously, we don't spend it. Just rolls over to next year, and we still got the money, right? That just means that we budgeted for it, okay?
Who runs it?
That'll go through me and the superintendent.
All right.
Yep. So now what we've got here is this is
so
our...
So we better monitor their travel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, this is capital. We can't use it for travel. I wish. So this is a lot of other budgets that are like hood cleaning, backflow testing. So most of these are contracted out services that we do. And we do have some things on like air filter repairs and everything. Anything that's in yellow on these is where they've asked for an increase because the costs are going up. Okay. Pavement management is here, so this is where we do all our chip seal and our seal coating and everything else like that. But basically, all these budgets come up, and up here I've got our capital revenue for this year that we're currently in, the capital revenue for next year, so this is what Truth and Taxation is bringing in, plus our regular capital revenue, right? Here's what it's going to bring in next year. Down here we've got the net amount of money we have left to spend after we've paid for things. And then we've got our bond payments for both years, right, because that's got to come out. We've got our priority projects, which we're going to go over in 2 seconds. And then we've got bond projects that were left over here. And this is what we got on the five-year plan for these years. And so this is what the balance would be at the end, okay? Now, you're saying, wow, that's a big balance. Well, there needs to be a big balance because we get the money in December. So I need money going into the next year to pay for these plans. So if I come here,
it's very small.
I'm blowing it up. Okay, here we go.
I was thinking I needed to use our optic plan there.
Okay.
$130.
So when we come up with what we got on our 5-year plan, okay, see this 5354418. These are basically projects that we brought to you and said, hey, we need to do this. That's the property out in Horton. And then this is developing the two-story. And then the rest of this is like Enterprise High School, completing that and stuff like that, right? Then we've got, for next year, we've got $56,73,899,
right? What box are you at? I'm trying to find that box.
I know,
so
I'm going 53,143,489.
This is our 5-year plan for next year, right? Well, we've got $50 million worth of projects, but the money for next year isn't going to show up till December, so I have to have rollover from this year to cover the first half of the year. That's why I need that $39 million rollover, is to pick up all the things I need to in the first half of the year, and this kicks in for, and then I've got the new money for the second half of the year, right? So every year you're going to see our capital budget is going to show a rollover of like 30 or more million. In fact, it's going to build up so we have enough to add on bigger projects as we do later on, right? So what we've got in our 5-year plan is all of our roofing projects, HVAC projects, all
all those big projects that happen on a regular basis that we have to take care of. Plus, it's got your Snow Canyon Middle School rebuild. It's got your vocational building at Dixie High School on here. It's got a new elementary school you can see right here on here. It's got your new high school purchase location. It's got several different new elementary school and new intermediate school. They're all on here, okay? So it's all the things that we've got lined out right now for your five-year plan. And you can see we've got 50, then 51, then it drops 42 and 24 because we know we're going to be adding some things on here, out here. We just don't know whether it's going to be an addition to CT High School, if we're going to be looking at an intermediate school, if we're going to be saving up for high school, what we're going to be doing. So that gives us the headroom to be able to add those on without, you know, and making it work within our capital budget, okay?
And these are things that would have been bonded for in the past.
These are all things on here that would have been bonded for in the past. Okay, this right here is all the requests we had for priorities, okay? And you've got this in your board packet. I emailed it out this morning. If you notice, almost everything, if it's in orange over here, it's on the five-year plan already, okay? There are a number of things over here that we've highlighted and explained what's going on and how they're being paid for. It's on a carpet rotation schedule, so it's not time yet. Or we've got security grant money to pay for. Or we've got an LED lighting replacement, which is on the five-year plan of a certain amount of money each year. We're doing that in-house. We haven't annotated which schools we're doing when. But that's just to let you know it's covered. If you go through this plan, you're going to see that most of the projects that have been requested, we have covered one way or another. The ones that we don't are ones that we've looked at and said, we're not there. We don't need to take care of that yet.
What's the green?
The green's over here is what we're asking you to approve on our priorities budget today.
Really quickly? That's in the five-year plan?
These are in the five-year plan. This is priorities.
No, it's the priorities.
The priorities are not in the five-year plan. That's that $4 million priority budget.
Priority budget. Okay.
That's the issue. Okay. Just so that you all know, we used to sit in there for about 8 hours, and then schools would come one by one and beg. And we sat for 8 hours while every school came and begged.
And you walked to the meeting uphill in the snow, right?
And this, no, that was a different story. But this is the new.
I was sitting
for 8 hours listening to schools beg.
So that was very clear.
Yeah, we've gone through this with a fine-tooth comb. We've met on it numerous different times in the star recommendation.
What does our fund balance look like through this 5 year?
That was this plan right here. So right now you're going to be looking at a fund balance of just over $35 million at the end of next year, 2024-25, right? And then the following year we got about $51 million. If we do $4 million on that fund balance is actually going to go up a little bit, and it's going to be creeping up, and then it goes up way if we don't add more projects, which we are going to be adding on more projects at the end of that five-year plan.
Like enterprise
real quick, Brent, if we
does that help?
Well, it does. It just I just know that there's issues in 5 years where we're going to need some significant money.
Yeah. Yes, and we will have significant money because we're going to be saving in those out years an additional, you know, 25 million a year. Yes, we are anticipating all those expenditures. Sure. That's what we're doing.
Quickly, if there is a change to our priorities, do we have to vote on that if something comes up and we, you know, you have your budget?
Well, I've got my budget, so you don't have to worry about that. We don't see any changes in priorities occurring. We believe that we're set on this. Okay. If there are other projects that come up, that's what those $600 million or $600,000, those other budgets, we got a flooring budget, we got other things that we can deal with that for during the course of the year.
Thank you. We appreciate the quick rundown. So we will move to our regular meeting. So let's hustle on in.
Yes. Becky, can I get a